Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Missing Texas Man Found Alive. A Texas man who went missing as a teenager in 2015 after last being seen walking his dogs in Houston has been found alive, his family and police said Monday. Police and firefighters found Rudolph Farras IV around 10 p.m. Thursday after getting a call of a person lying on the ground in front of a church in southeast Houston, police spokesman John Cannon said. It was not immediately known where Farras had been the last 8 years, Cannon said. Police investigators had not yet spoken with Farras, 25, who remained hospitalized. What we do know is at the time of his recovery, a Good Samaritan located him unresponsive and immediately called police at 911. My son Rudy is receiving the care he needs to overcome his trauma, but at this time he is nonverbal and not able to communicate with us, Janie Santana, Farris's mother, said in a statement. In a tweet Monday afternoon, Houston police said it planned on speaking with Farras and his family on Wednesday. The news that Farras had been found was first reported in a tweet on Saturday by the Texas Center for the Missing, which was handling public communications on behalf of Farras's family. We do know when a loved one goes missing, this is the day all families hope for and dream of, reunification. We are thankful that Rudy has been found and receiving the care he needs, the center said in a statement on Monday. Farras was 17 years old when he was reported missing on March the 6th, 2015, after taking his two dogs for a walk near his family's home in northeast Houston. The dogs were later found. Houston police, along with Texas EcuSearch, a civilian search and recovery team, looked for Farras but found no signs of him. When Farras first went missing, Texas EcuSearch reported that he suffered from depression and anxiety and he might have been disoriented because he wasn't taking his medication. Farras also had asthma and walked with a slight limp because of an injured right leg. According to his mother, he is very wary around strangers, Texas EcuSearch said in 2015. Cannon said Farris's family did report to police investigators that they had seen him in September 2018 staying behind the home of a relative. Police investigators followed up on the 2018 sighting and went to the relative's home, but they could not observe him. They could not locate him, Cannon said. Since police were not able to find Farras after the 2018 sighting, the investigation remained open as a missing persons case, Cannon said. Possible sightings, like the one Houston police followed up in 2018, were common in the case, said Martin Rentera, a private investigator with Checkmate Investigative Field Services in suburban Houston, who had been hired by Farris's mother a few months after Farras went missing. Rentera called at least a dozen such reports that turned up nothing. Rentera, who worked the case with his wife Barbara, also followed up on possible sightings in other cities. After a couple years, we finally just had to give up on it, Rentera said Monday. He added he also considered that Farras, who had become an adult in the time he was missing, might have run away and didn't want to be found. Santana and other family members were not available for comment on Monday. We are asking for privacy during this difficult time, but we'll share more details as Rudy continues to heal, Santana said in her statement. Music professor heading home. After nearly 20 years in the Permian Basin of making his mark on the culture and music of the desert, David Corman is moving back home. Corman is taking a position at Kansas Wesleyan University in Salina, Kansas, as director of choir and voice. He is currently minister of music at First United Methodist Church, adjunct professor of voice and director of vocal ensemble at University of Texas Permian Basin, and former director of vocal studies at Odessa College. He and his wife, Kimberly, were planning to retire there eventually. Corman has tons of family in the area. Kimberly's family is in the basin. "It's my home, and this just really came out of the blue," Corman said. He added that Kansas Wesleyan has first-class facilities and a strong fine arts program. "I was interested in contributing to it." Interestingly enough, they have two Brazilian musicians. One is the head of orchestra and the other is the head of piano. "I'm just so impressed with both of them, and a wonderful jazz band person, a wonderful former Broadway dancer. She's the head of the music theater and theater program. Great talent," Corman said. He added that he likes the idea of building on to a heritage that is already there. "My grandparents were at this university in 1905, and then my parents met there in 1946. She accompanied the choirs there from 1942 to 1946, and in the 70s and 80s, she had a grand piano that we donated to the university in 2006 in honor of her. Then, of course, I have many uncles and aunts that have gone to this place," Corman said. He actually went to Friends University, which had Quaker beginnings and was, and is, known as a good music school. He earned a bachelor's degree in English literature and another in vocal performance and a master's in music from Yale University. Corman also has what's called an artistic diploma from the Juilliard School of Music in New York. His career has taken him all over the world to sing opera. Corman is not the only music professor leaving the area. Frank I. Channer, the Kathleen Cosper Dunnigan Professor of the Humanities and Music Department Chair at UTBP, and Jeb Harris, an adjunct voice instructor at UTBP, associate choir director at Permian High School and First United Methodist Church organist, and Rochelle Woolston, an adjunct in voice and musical theater at UTBP, are also departing. Coleman said he really prayed about leaving, but things worked out. "Texas is a beautiful place. It has been incredibly gracious to us, to me," Corman said. He added that he can't imagine his life without his students. "I was counting them up the other day. I've kind of gotten up to a wacky number of it, I think. It's somewhere around 1,500 students, both voice and choir," Corman said. I. Channer, who is good friends with Corman, said any time someone with Corman's experience of working at the highest levels internationally comes to a small community like Odessa Midland, they bring their depth and breadth of experience that is life-changing for students. When you add that to David's considerable gifts as a teacher, as a communicator, as a conductor, it's no surprise that his impact here in West Texas has been remarkable. He added that Corman and his family have become institutions in West Texas. "I'm excited for him and the new chapter of impact that he'll have at Kansas Wesleyan," I. Chandler said. Corman and his wife Kimberly have 4 children and 3 grandchildren. Past district governor swears in officers, board members of 3 Odessa Rotary Clubs. Rotary International past district governor Charles Cotton presided over a joint meeting of Odessa's 3 Rotary Clubs on June the 28th to swear in the new officers and board members of the combined clubs for the 2023-2024 year. Mr. Cotton gave a brief overview of the history of Rotary International and the worldwide service projects Rotary has championed, such as the Polio Plus program, which has nearly eradicated polio through the world. The 3 incoming Rotary Club presidents, Kim Ortega of the Odessa Rotary Club, Bill Nyborg of the Greater Odessa Rotary Club, and Jess Walker of the Odessa East Rotary Club, took their oath of office, followed by Mr. Cotton swearing in the board members of all 3 clubs before the gathering of Rotary Club members at Odessa College. Rotary brings together a global network of volunteer leaders dedicated to tackling the world's most pressing humanitarian challenges. Rotary connects 1.2 million members of more than 35,000 Rotary clubs in over 200 countries and geographical areas. Their work impacts lives at both the local and international levels, from helping families in need in their own communities to working toward a polio-free world. Wildlife Preserve aims to foster lifelong advocates. The wilds of West Texas will be the newest living laboratory for the I-20 Wildlife Preserve as we welcome the first group of students for our new Conservation Job Corps program. The program allows high school students with an interest in medicine, biology, and life sciences an opportunity to obtain hands-on experience in conservation, restoration, education, and research before college. It is our hope that the program will encourage them to learn in nature and become lifelong advocates for the lands that surround them. The I-20 Wildlife Preserve is a learning environment like no other. It is a 100-acre riparian forest campus in Midland. Our urban Playa Lake is an ephemeral wetland. Its shallow, clay-lined basins are a primary source of recharge for the Ogallala Aquifer. The preserve serves the people of 19 counties, including Ector, Midland, Pecos, Howard, Crane, Brewster, Presidio, Jeff Davis, Andrews, Ward, and Reeves. Since we opened in 2013, thousands of West Texans have participated in education, wellness, citizen science, and land management programs here. Our Job Corps program is an extension of this work. These scientific students will take a field trip to the Trans-Pecos, where they will learn about wildlife management and native prairie restoration from Borderland Research Institute graduate students. At the Nine Point Ranch, they will learn to band Montezuma quail. No West Texas exploration would be complete without a trip to the Monahans Sandhills, a unique dune ecosystem that is home to blue-stem grass and sand reeds that help stabilize the soil. Perhaps they will see Jerusalem crickets, javelina, mule deer, and the sagebrush lizard. Our students will also explore forest ecosystems and meet the Caprock Task Force at the Reese Air Force Base. Then they'll see seedlings being nurtured at the West Texas Nursery in Idalu. Texas A&M University and the Texas Forest Service use the seedlings in their reforestation projects. Students will then head to the Gulf Coast. In Corpus Christi, they will learn about marine biology at the Hart Research Institute. Then they'll head to the San Antonio Zoo. There, they'll meet up with the zoo biologists who have been working with Texas Christian University on a grow and release program for the horned lizard. The group will also head north to learn about the work at Green Space Dallas Conservation Job Corps. There, they will canoe down the Trinity River to pick up trash. We look forward to growing the program and enrolling even more future scientists and nature enthusiasts from across the Permian Basin. The work of these students will help preserve the ecosystems in the Permian Basin and Texas for generations to come. Please help me in welcoming them to the I-20 Wildlife Preserve. Obituaries. Kim Ross Burks, age 69, of Bryan, Texas, passed away on June the 26th. Richard David Maudlin, age 72, of Odessa, passed away on Saturday, July the 1st. Antonio Negrete, age 80, of Odessa, died Thursday, June the 29th. James Michael Foy died Thursday, June the 22nd. Richard Benacourt, age 59, of Odessa, died Saturday, June the 24th. Richard Lance Cummins, age 50, of Fort Smith, Arkansas, passed away on June the 23rd. Juanez Joy Groom, age 91, of Odessa, died Monday, June the 26th. Wilma Elaine Owen, age 78, of Odessa, died Saturday, June the 24th. Martha Porras Ray, age 65 of Odessa, died Wednesday, June the 28th. Ruben Nahar Riviera, age 55 of Odessa, died Monday, June the 26th. Robert William Valinas, age 69, died Thursday, June the 8th in Midland. Esperanza Hernandez, age 83 of Odessa, passed away on Friday, June the 23rd. Travis Baca, age 42 of Odessa, died Saturday, June the 24th. Sandra Jo Cox, age 80 of Odessa, passed away on June the 25th. Christopher Gamez, age 50 of Odessa, died Friday, June the 23rd. France Hemet Howard, age 74, of Haskell, Texas, passed away on June the 24th. Rebecca Ann Johnson, age 75, of Odessa, passed away on Thursday, June the 22nd. Robert Woody Motley, age 100, of Odessa, passed away on Friday, June the 23rd.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition, Saturday, July 1st, 2023. Fish and Wildlife to List Lizard Endangered. Agency announced proposed rule to list the dune sagebrush lizard as endangered. 11 years, oil and gas operators and landowners banded together to avert the listing of the dune sagebrush lizard as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. Then Interior Secretary Ken Salazar even visited the area to tour lizard habitat outside of Goldsmith. Now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has announced a proposed rule to list the lizard as endangered under the ESA. The decision serves as the 12-month finding on a petition to list the lizard and satisfies a court-ordered deadline to deliver the finding to the Federal Register by June 29, 2023. The listing documents will be available on the Federal Register on Monday, and the 60-day public comment period will close September 1st. Commented Ben Shepard, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, quote, "We are shocked and dismayed at this decision. Unfortunately, announcing this before a national holiday is yet another tactic this administration likes to use," end quote. "It is unfortunate," he told the Reporter Telegram by telephone, "that the administration and its supporters are using the ESA, quote, against American energy and against energy security," end quote. More than 3 million acres of lizard habitat in Texas and New Mexico is enrolled in conservation agreements, and efforts to protect the lizard have been working for over a decade, Shepard continued. Quote, "Unfortunately, the Fish and Wildlife Service refuses to acknowledge its success," end quote. "There had been absolutely no indication from the FWS that the decision was imminent," he said. In fact, the conservation plan had been modified, updated, and approved by the service in January 2020. "Part of a process," he said, "is part of a continual effort to modify and improve conservation efforts." Congressman August Pfluger, whose District 11 includes Midland, Odessa, and portions of the lizard's habitat, criticized the decision. Quote, "The radical Biden administration cannot help themselves. Over the 4th of July weekend, they're spending their time attacking the oil and gas industry by listing the dune sagebrush lizard as endangered. Biden is weaponizing a lizard against the livelihoods of Texans, an entire industry, and our nation's energy security, while tainting the intent of the Endangered Species Act, ESA. I have already introduced legislation to reform the ESA and deliver reasonable, common-sense protections for endangered species while preventing overbearing regulations coming from Washington, D.C., and I will continue to work against these targeted listings. Don't mess with oil and gas," end quote, he said in a statement provided to the Reporter Telegram. The Republican in February reintroduced the Listing Reform Act, a bill intended to modernize the Endangered Species Act and prevent it from being used as a weapon against the agriculture and energy industries, he said. Shepard said he and members of the PBPA will be closely reviewing the notice when it is placed in the Federal Register and will be filing comments, quote, and continue to be engaged in this important issue that threatens the Permian Basin like no other, end quote. Director Tim Jebson leaving MCT in 2026. Tim Jebson, the Midland Community Theater Executive Director, announced yesterday via Facebook that come springtime, he will have minimized his role/in-person efforts and will retire summer 2026. Jebson joined the theater August 1997 and has only been the third executive director in the establishment's 78-year history. Other directors include founder Art Cole and Jebson's predecessor Don Bachman. Jebson also said he and the MCT Board of Governors spent the last 10 months coming to a succession agreement for future executive leadership. Major staff changes happening within the year include the creation of an artistic director position, which will allow Jebson to become remote by spring, and revisions to current staff positions. Details on those revisions were not given. During his time, Jebson has been at the front lines of some of the theater's biggest improvements, such as the $7.5 million LED wall installed in Davis Theater 1, the lobby expansion, not completed, and an education space, all funded by donors and supporters in the community. Quote, MCT is blessed with amazing volunteers who help us produce our shows and educational offerings. I sincerely hope that both our donors and our volunteers will continue to support our community theater and its new executive leadership during this transition and down the road, end quote, Jebson wrote. Rig count down for ninth week. U.S. Texas fall. Permian unchanged. Drilling activity continues to slow to its lowest level since at least 2022 amid continued soft commodity prices and uncertainty about the direction of the U.S. and global economies. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 fell another 8 rigs to 674 for the week. That's the ninth consecutive weekly decline, the first such streak since July 2020. The count is also 76 rigs, or 10% below the 750 counted a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil dipped one rig to 545. The lowest level since April 22, and 50 fewer than the 595 reported last June. The number of rigs seeking natural gas fell 6 rigs to 124, the lowest level since February 2022, and 29 fewer than 153 last year. For the month of June, the rig count is down 37 from the previous year after falling 44 rigs in May. For the second quarter, the rig count is down 81 rigs, the most since a 463 plunge in the same quarter of 2020 as the pandemic gripped the world. Texas dropped 4 rigs to 341, 19 fewer than the 360 rigs active throughout the state last June. New Mexico added 2 rigs for 108. Louisiana, 4, North Dakota, 1, and Oklahoma, 2, were the other producing states to see declines, while Wyoming, 1, was the other producing state to see an increase. The Permian Basin reported 341 rigs for a second week, 8 fewer than the count last year. Lee County, New Mexico, was the most active basin in the Permian, surging 7 rigs, the biggest gain of the week, to 56. Eddy County, New Mexico, fell to second, losing 6 rigs, the biggest decline of the week, to 50 rigs. Martin County fell 2 rigs to 43, followed by Midland County with 36 rigs, up 2 for the week. Reeves County had 34 rigs, down 3. Loving County reported 22 rigs for a second week. Ward County gained 1 rig for 18. Reagan had 13 rigs for a second week, while Upton County reported 13 rigs for a fourth consecutive week. Andrews County had 11 rigs at work within county lines for a second week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm, Enverus, said its U.S. rig count was as high as 736 during the week ended June 28th, falling by 4 rigs from the previous week's peak. The count is down 2%, or 18 rigs, in the last month, and down 13% year over year. Activity increased week over week in the Anadarko Basin, up by 4 rigs to 55. the Appalachian Basin up by one rig to 48, and the Williston Basin up by one rig to 36. All other major plays tallied declines. The Permian slid by six rigs to 322, the DJ Basin dropped two rigs to hit 16, and the Gulf Coast dropped a rig to land at 84. Where to watch fireworks in Midland, Odessa, and area. Star-Spangled Salute, Midland. Tuesday, 201 West Wall Street. The annual patriotic display will take place from sunup to sundown Tuesday at Centennial Park. Festivities include the 60th Children's Parade, a beer garden, mechanical bulls and bounce houses in the Bush Convention Center Fun Zone, a concert, tons of food trucks and vendors, and of course, fireworks. www.midlandtxchamber.com/salute. 9:30 a.m. Children's Parade check-in / day of registration. 9:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. food court open. 10 a.m. Children's Parade. 6 to 10 p.m. beer garden. 7 to 9 p.m. fun zone open plus sponsor hospitality area open. 7 p.m. concert, 10 p.m. fireworks. Rockhounds post-game fireworks, Midland. Saturday through Monday, July 14th through 16th, 25th through 30th, 5514 Champions Drive. Throughout the month, the Midland Rockhounds will hold a fireworks display after every home game. For 4th of July weekend, the Rockhounds play the Corpus Christi Hooks. Other opponents include the Tulsa Drillers and the Amarillo Sod Poodles. Tickets and details on other daily promotions. Thirsty Thursday, Wiener Wednesday, Kids Run the Bases, etc. can be found at www.milb.com/Midland/schedule/2023-07. Firecracker Fandango, Odessa, Saturday, 119 West 4th Street. Join Odessa for its yearly celebration known as Firecracker Fandango. Firecracker Fandango is from 6 to 10 p.m. Community members will enjoy musical performances by Treaty Trick, Treaty Oak Revival, N.B. Ridaz, JoJo, and Rita Campuccino e Animo. A car show, dog show, balloon artists, face paintings, vendors, food trucks, and more. Fireworks happen at 10 p.m. Pops in the Park, Big Spring. Monday, Comanche Trail Amphitheater. From 5 p.m. to 11 p.m., Pops in the Park will include an array of activities for West Texans of all ages while wrapping up the evening with a grand fireworks show. Fun at the Park, Andrews. Tuesday, Pioneer Park and Ace Arena. The City of Andrews will host a day-long event from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Pioneer Park, before closing the day with fireworks at Ace Arena at dusk. At the park, true Texas activities such as turtle, chicken, and armadillo races, rock climbing, a watermelon eating contest, sack races, bungee jumping, mechanical bull riding, foam party, petting zoo, bounce houses, food trucks, and vendors. Free admission will also be available to the city's splash park from 1 to 5 p.m. Community Roundup. City Schedule. The City of Midland offices will be closed on Tuesday for the July 4th holiday. The City of Midland also announced that the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center will be closed Monday and Tuesday, while swimming pools will be operating normal business hours next week. More info can be found https://www.midlandtexas.gov/204/midland-swimming-pools. The solid waste collection will include regular trash collection on Monday, no trash collection on Tuesday, and the trash collection for Tuesday customers will take place Wednesday. There is no change for trash collection Thursday and Friday. Midland ISD will be closed. Midland ISD reported the district will be closed through July 9th. Pitch, hit, and run competition. The City of Midland Parks and Recreation Department is inviting boys and girls ages 7 to 14 to participate in Major League Baseball pitch, hit, and run on July 7th. A free event will be held at 5:30 p.m. at the Bill Williams Softball Complex, 1300 East Wadley Avenue. The competition consists of a series of movements that are important in baseball and softball. Athletes will be tested and their measurements will be recorded. Based on their scores in the pitch, hit, and run categories, they will be able to advance from the local event to a team championship held in an MLB stadium. From the team championship, they will be able to qualify to attend the national finals. The national finals will be held at the MLB World Series. Registration is now open by visiting www.midlandtexas.gov/pitch-hit-run. All athletes must be registered to advance to the next round. For more information, please contact the Parks and Recreation Department at 432-685-7355 or contact LaSalle Williams by email at lswilliams@midlandtexas.gov. Next meetings, Midland County, July 10th. Planning and Zoning, July 10th. Midland Development Corp, July 10th. City Council, July 11th. Midland ISD, July 25th. Midland College, no regular July meeting. What's Up with Midland? The Blue Door. Live music with Craig Bowen, July 7th. ABBA FAB Happy Hour, July 11th. Live music with Dave Martinez, July 12th. Clueless Trivia, July 13th. Bush Convention Center, Celebration of the Arts, July 21st through 23rd. Cafe at the Gardens, Market at the Gardens, Saturday. Centennial Park, Star-Spangled Salute, Tuesday. Music in the Park, July 14th. The Destination, Tejano Thirsty, Thursday, July 6th. Friday Night Live, Croakin' Toads, July 7th. Karaoke Night, July 13th. Open Mic Night, July 20th. Friday Night Live, Rodney Dunn and the Los Frijoles Band, July 21st. Scotty Alexander Band, July 22nd. Bring Your Own Blues, Open Blues Jam, July 27th. Friday Night Live, Rita Cappuccina e Animo, July 28th. Jake Bush, July 29th. Earth, Body, and Soul. Walk-in Tara Reading every Tuesday. Walk-in Reiki Energy Clearing every Wednesday. Aura Photography Saturday. Tea and Tara Special, July 7th. Creating Crystal Grids, July 13th. Angel Work 101, July 28th. Horseshoe. The Outpour Gathering, July 8th. West Texas Blowout Part 1, July 15th. Silver Spur Trade Show, July 29th through 30th. Micro Market, Downtown Market, Saturday. Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, every Saturday. Summer Sunday Lawn Concert Series, July 9th, 16th, 23rd, 30th. Tall City Brewing Company, Summer Camp Beer Series, Saturday. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Cinema Under the Stars, Mighty Ducks, July 9th. Latin Queens and Comedy Kings, July 14th. Jackson Brown, July 15th. ABBA FAB, July 21st. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, July 23rd. Puppy Pals Live from America's Got Talent, July 24th. Temperature stays below 100 degrees. The 100-degree streak in Midland ended Friday. The National Weather Service on its website showed a high temperature of 95 degrees, which is 1 degree lower than the normal high for June 30th. Friday was also the first day since June 14th that the high temperature did not reach 100 degrees. The 15 straight days of triple-digit high temperatures set a record at Midland International. Highs are expected to stay below 100 degrees through Tuesday, according to the NWS. Friday's weather. High temperature, 95 degrees. Normal high for June 30th, 96 degrees. Next 3 days, Saturday 94 degrees, Sunday 94 degrees, Monday 96 degrees. Most consecutive days at or above 100 degrees at Midland International Airport. June 15th through 29th, 2023, 15 days. June 16th through 29th, 1998, 14 days. June 7th through 20th, 2011, 14 days. June 30th through July 11th, 1964, 12 days. July 14th through 25th, 1981, 12 days. Most consecutive days at 105 degrees at Midland International Airport. June 19th through 27th, 2023, 9 days. June 25th through July 3rd, 1994, 9 days. July 9th through 15th, 2020, 7 days. June 14th through 19th, 2011, 6 days. July 3rd through 7th, 2016, 5 days. June 18th through 22nd, 1951, 5 days. Source, National Weather Service. Pecos men sentenced for selling stolen firearms. The traffickers were part of a, quote, ring of criminals, end quote. Two Pecos men were sentenced Tuesday in a federal court in Pecos for selling stolen firearms, according to the Department of Justice. Nathaniel Elijah Sines, 19, was sentenced to 5 years for one count of sale of a stolen firearm. Raul Ivan Duarte, 31, was sentenced to 2.5 years for one count of possession of a firearm not registered in the National Firearms Registration and Transfer Record. Sines and Duarte were part of a Pecos, quote, ring of criminals that were breaking into vehicles and stealing firearms from vehicles, end quote, according to court documents. They would then sell the stolen firearms to various buyers that included Texas Department of Public Safety special agents and Pecos Police Department investigators, who conducted multiple undercover purchases throughout the investigation. On March 8, 2022, Sines and Duarte were arrested by DPS agents and Pecos police during the execution of search warrants. A third defendant, Joaquin Osvaldo Munoz, 20, was sentenced on May 22nd to less than 5 years in prison for one count of sale of a stolen firearm. Quote, this case is a clear reminder of our commitment to collaborate with our law enforcement partners at every level to stop the illicit selling of stolen firearms and to hold firearm traffickers responsible, end quote, said U.S. Attorney Jaime Esparza for the Western District of Texas. Death notices. Mary Robin Ritchie. Mary Robin Ritchie, 61, passed away June 29, 2023. Services will be held on Thursday, July 6, 2023 at 3 o'clock p.m., with visitation from 1 o'clock p.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. at Golf Course Road Church of Christ in Midland, and on July 10, 2023 at 11 o'clock a.m., graveside, in the Greenwich section of Bonaventure Cemetery in Savannah, Georgia. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Robert William Valenis. Robert William Valenis, 69, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, June 8, 2023, in Midland. Services are pending with Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. Obituaries. Herbert Lee Jackson. Herbert Lee Buster Jackson, age 58, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord on June 20, 2023. He was born October 8, 1964, in Midland, Texas, to the late Hubert Jackson and Ruby Jewel Stevens. Herbert is preceded in death by his parents, Hubert Jackson and Ruby Jewel, and two sisters, Brenda Jackson and Ann Schaefer. Left to cherish his memories are his wife, Lakeisha Jackson of Big Spring, Texas, his son, Herbert Lee Jackson, Jr. of Big Spring, Texas, three stepchildren, James Long, Shakara Jones, Arletha Madkins, four grandchildren, seven sisters, a host of nieces, nephews, extended family, and friends. The family will receive friends for viewing on Monday, July 3rd, 2023, from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79701. Cremation services have been arranged to follow. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchez.tfh.com. James Foy, September 5, 1938 to June 22, 2023. James Michael Foy passed away on Thursday, June 22, 2023. He was born September 5, 1938 in Ballinger, Texas, to Luna May and Marlon A. Foy. He is preceded in death by his parents, a brother, and son Kyle. He is survived by his wife, Sandra, daughter, Michelle Ashby and Steve of Georgetown, son, Blake Foy and Denise of Midland, grandchildren, Mindy and Lucas Whedon, great-grandson, Trayson of Round Rock, Macy Ashby of Georgetown, Michaela Foy of Dallas, Marlon Foy and Jen of Pflugerville. We honor his request for no service. The family requests that memorials should be given to your choice of church or worthwhile charity. Karen Ann McLean, November 27, 1953 to June 28, 2023. Karen Ann Reichel McLean, 69, passed away peacefully in her home on Wednesday, June 28, 2023, under the care of hospice, surrounded by her husband, three children, and their families. Karen was preceded in death by her parents, Vernon and Hazel Reichel, her brothers, Michael and Kevin Reichel, sister-in-law, Brenda Reichel, father-in-law, Hollis McLean, and stepfather, Bob Corple. Karen is survived by her husband, Monty McLean, and her children and their families. Travis McLean and wife, Emily, and their child, Ezra, Katie McLean, Ornelas, and husband, Hector, and their children, Santiago, Gabriel, Sophia, and Liliana, and Allison McLean, Trevino, and husband, Tim, and their children, Blake and Easton. She is also survived by her siblings, Patricia Epley, Greg Reichel, and Scott Reichel, and a large and loving extended family. The family wishes to express sincere gratitude to Home Hospice of Odessa, especially Melanie, for the compassionate care. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests donations be made to Home Hospice of Odessa. A vigil and rosary service will be held at St. Anne's Catholic Church on Friday, June 30th, 2023, at 6 o'clock p.m. A funeral mass will be held at St. Anne's Catholic Church on Saturday, July 1st, 2023, at 10 o'clock a.m., followed by burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park and reception at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Arrangements have been entrusted to Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Connie Pettaway. Connie Pettaway of Midland passed away on Wednesday, June 28, 2023. A graveside service will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Monday, July 3, 2023 at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Connie was born on July 28, 1942 in La Mesa, Texas to Verna and Blayton Clearman. Connie is survived by her daughter and grandson, Christy and Cece Pettaway, her son and daughter-in-law, Scott and Susan Pettaway, and three granddaughters, Brianna, Catherine, and Lily. She is also survived by her sister, Judy Leatherwood, and nieces and nephews. Connie is preceded in death by her parents, Blanton and Verna Clearman, and her sister and brother-in-law, Norma and George Mounts. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made to Bynum School, 6100 Avalon Drive, Midland, Texas, 79707, or SHARE, 3500 North A Street, Suite 2500, Midland, Texas, 79705. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Sherry Ashton Marshall. Sherry Ashton Marshall, age 73, beloved wife, mother, and grandmother, passed away peacefully at Midland Memorial Hospital on June 28, 2023. Sherry was born on December 23, 1949, in Watonga, Oklahoma, to the late Bill and Billy Joe Ashton. She is preceded in death by her parents and a sister. Sherry is survived by her husband, Bill, daughter Tracy Shaw, Brent, of Pecos, and son Joe Bob Marshall, along with a granddaughter, Lindsay Birch, Joel, and six grandsons, Bradley Shaw, Jade, Tyler Marshall, Andrew Marshall, Nichelle, Connor Marshall, Jacob Marshall, and Logan Marshall. Other survivors include her sister, Linda Ashton, sisters-in-law, Carolyn Lewis and Barbara Marshall, and many nieces and nephews. At this time, there will be no funeral or memorial service. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the Midland Senior Center, 3303 West Illinois Suite 18, Midland, Texas, 79703. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Willis Gilmore, Jr., February 11, 1931 to June 14, 2023. Willis Henderson Bill Gilmore, Jr., 92, passed away peacefully on Wednesday, June 14, 2023, at his home in Midland, Texas. Bill was born in Fort Worth on February 10, 1931, the eldest child of Willis Henderson Gilmore Sr. and Dorothy Reed Gilmore. Bill was preceded in death by his parents, wife Betty Gilmore, and brother Reed Gilmore Sr. Bill is survived by his daughters, Kathy Shannon of Midland and Karen Anderson and her husband Steve of Fort Collins, Colorado, and sons Willis Henderson, Trey Gilmore III, and his wife Susan of Cypress, Texas, and Lawrence Gilmore of Denver, Colorado. He was also blessed with 8 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren, to whom he was known as Granddad. A memorial service celebrating Bill's life will be held at First Presbyterian Church in Midland on Monday, July 10, 2023, at 10:30 a.m. Memorial donations may be sent in Bill's honor to Christ Church Anglican, 5501 North Midkiff, Midland, Texas, 79705, Haley Memorial Library and History, 1805 West Indiana Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701, or the Permian Basin Petroleum Museum, 1500 Interstate 20 West, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements have been entrusted to Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Horseshoe Hospitality, Kelly, continue to run the facility. Ken Olson of the Midland Community Theater will be the next Horseshoe Director. A mediation session is set on July 14th to take place between Joe Kelly of Horseshoe Hospitality Services and Midland County regarding Horseshoe Hospitality's contract termination. On May 8th, Midland County Commissioners voted 3-2 to terminate their contract with Horseshoe Hospitality Services, the company that operates the Horseshoe Complex. Kelly said the decision on May 8th was a shock to himself, his clients, and staff. On July 14th, Kelly hopes to receive a fair and equitable settlement from the county. Quote, if the majority of Commissioners' Court wants Midland County to operate the Horseshoe, then they should have professionally come to us and said, we would like to buy your contract out, end quote, Kelly said. Quote, that's what I would have liked to have seen, but that's not what happened, so we have to take it as it happens, end quote. Kelly and Horseshoe Hospitality are still operating the facility for the time being. Midland County hired Ken Olson, the former managing director at the Midland Community Theater, on June 26th to be the next Horseshoe Director. Despite the contract termination and Midland County's hire, Kelly said the Horseshoe staff remains focused on providing a quality environment each day. Quote, clients, customers, and employees have kind of been kept in the dark, end quote, Kelly said. Quote, but as far as our operation, our staff is still performing outstanding, clients are happy, and that is still operating well, end quote. As far as Kelly and his staff are concerned, they still have a valid, active contract with Midland County to operate the facility. Kelly said if Midland County provides a fair, equitable offer to his company, quote, then we can make that happen, end quote. When it comes to the emotions of possibly leaving the Horseshoe Complex, which includes the arena, education building, pavilion, and amphitheater, Kelly hasn't given it much thought. But for vendors who operate out of the Horseshoe, like Natalie Nolan of Ria Lana Consignment of Midland, Odessa, it will be tough to see Horseshoe Hospitality go. Quote, I see that with the Horseshoe team, with Joe leading and with the staff, it's how they all work together, end quote, Nolan said. Quote, I feel like breaking that apart, I couldn't imagine the time that it would take to build that up with a new team. They, the Horseshoe staff, are really phenomenal people out there, end quote. Ria Lana's children consignment events have been held twice a year for the past 9 years at the Horseshoe. Nolan said her longstanding relationship with Horseshoe Hospitality has showed her its strong work ethic, kindness, and willingness to go above and beyond for their vendors and clients. Although Precinct 2 Commissioner Jeff Summers didn't vote in favor of terminating the contract between Midland County and Horseshoe Hospitality Services on May 8th, he said Olson has the tools to be successful. Quote, it was good to see we had a rather large and professional group of applicants for the Horseshoe position, end quote, Summers said. Quote, after court members spent time with individual interviews and additional follow-ups, the choice of Ken Olson was made based on his experience, qualifications, and overall impression he made on the court. We look forward to Ken joining the Midland County team and leading the Horseshoe and all its employees in a new and exciting direction, end quote. body found in trailer after fire. Ector County authorities are investigating a structure fire in North Ector County after a body was found inside the trailer. Ector County Sheriff's Office deputies and Odessa Fire Rescue responded Wednesday at about 9:09 p.m. to the 200 block of Tool Street to a structure fire. Quote, upon extinguishing the fire, it was determined that a deceased body was located inside the travel trailer, end quote. ECSO said in a Facebook post, authorities have not identified the body. An autopsy has been requested, according to the post. The investigation is ongoing. BizBeat. Next Founders Blend Midland meeting set for July 12th. Business Briefs. The July Founders Blend Midland meeting will take place on July 12th at Second Story Coworking. Founders Blend is a monthly meeting that allows Midland business owners and entrepreneurs the opportunity to network and hear presentations from their peers. The Permian Basin Society of Human Resource Management HR Conference and Expo on August 22nd at Bush Convention Center will allow professionals the opportunity to network, gain knowledge, and explore human resources solutions and tools. Keynote speakers will include Randy Anderson, co-founder of E3 Professional Trainers, Julie Birch, president of Julie Birch Speaks, and Bruce Waller, vice president of corporate relocation at the Armstrong Company. Business calendar. July 4th, 2023 Star Spangled Salute, 7 a.m. to 11:55 p.m. downtown Midland. July 10th, Rusty Taco Grand Opening Ribbon Cutting, 11:30 a.m. to noon. 3303 North Midkiff Road, Suite 197. July 11th, Posh Kids Boutique Grand Opening, 11:30 a.m. to noon, 3303 North Midkiff Road, Suite 141. July 12th, First H&H Holdings, LLC, 11:30 a.m. to noon, 701A West Indiana Avenue. July 12th, Founders Blend Midland, 7:30 to 9 a.m., Second Story Coworking. August 22nd, PBS HRM HR Conference and Expo, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Bush Convention Center. August 29th, First Bank and Trust Mixer, 5 to 7 p.m., 1111 West Wall Street. October 11th through 12th, 2023, WTX Women, Professional Women Symposium, Bush Convention Center.
This is the Dear Abby column. Marriage of convenience has become inconvenient. Dear Abby, 18 years ago, I married a man so he could get health insurance and have back surgery. It was supposed to be short-lived. He fell in love with me and wouldn't leave. He's put me through hell over the years. Stage 4 tongue cancer left him unable to work, which I didn't have an issue with. Then he started drinking and got a DUI. Because I was the sole provider, it cost me almost $10,000. My husband is a complete slob and doesn't care. He has a severe sleep disorder he refuses to address. Most days, he drinks all night and sleeps until 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I finally moved out, but now he's pestering me about when I'll be back. What can I do? Signed, Turn the Page in Arizona. Dear Turned, unless you want more of the same, do not go back. You have done enough of the heavy lifting. It's now time to concentrate on what is good for you and what will make you happy. Because you no longer want to live with this person, consult an attorney about how to extricate yourself from a dysfunctional relationship, which should have ended as soon as he healed from his back surgery. Dear Abby, I'm a 65-year-old female who has been divorced for 15 years. I have no interest in dating. During the last couple of years, I have focused on my health, concentrating on diet and exercise, and I have lost 50 pounds. Before I lost the weight, men seldom noticed me, which was fine with me. Lately, men have been looking at me, smiling, and even flirting. Although this is a confidence booster, I don't want to lead anyone on. I know it may seem weird, but I'm afraid if someone asks me out, my facial expression and response might not be cordial. I don't want to insult anyone. I believe if I memorize one or two polite, tactful responses, I'll be ready for the moment. Can you suggest how to politely turn down a man who shows interest in me? Signed, Still Not Interested in Iowa. Dear Still Not Interested, Did your divorce leave you so disillusioned that you're not even interested in a platonic male friendship? Although I think you will prevent yourself from having some rewarding relationships, a polite way to convey that you're not interested would be, "Thank you for the compliment, but I'm off the market." Dear Abby, I need an attitude adjustment. My sporty, outdoorsy type A daughter, who is in her 30s, dates men who are typically wussy, milquetoast, dead fish handshake individuals. She's respectful toward them and doesn't bully them, nor does she mother them, try to change them to improve them. How can I be less critical of her choices? And how do I respond tactfully when she asks me for my impression of her boyfriends? Signed, Trying to Change. Dear Trying, tell your daughter she doesn't need your endorsement, and that if any of her suitors make her happy, you are happy for her. Then bite your tongue. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.